introduce her. Michelle Kondo is a scientist with the USDA Forest Service. Dr. Kondo specializes in evaluating the impacts of urban sustainability and stabilization initiatives on environmental hazards, public health, and safety. Some of her current studies investigate the effects of green stormwater infrastructure projects in Philadelphia on cardiovascular health and surrounding crime levels, and the impacts of vacant lot greening programs in Youngstown, Ohio, Newark, New Jersey, and Detroit, Michigan on health and safety. So, Dr. Kondo.
Can you hear me? Yeah, this is a really gigantic room. Okay, so the Forest Service, is hiring scientists in four urban areas, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Baltimore, just realizing this fact that, you know, there are 138 million acres of trees in urban areas, and they are, you know, fundamental to public health. So here I am. I started off in March as a scientist with the Forest Service, and I'm happy to share my research with you, much in collaboration with the Urban Health Lab at the University of Pennsylvania. I have no relationships to disclose. To start off, Philadelphia is one of many cities that is suffering from loss of population, one of the sort of iconic symptoms of this process for, you know, legacy cities, I suppose, is abandoned land. Philadelphia has about 40,000 vacant lots right now. This is the Grounded in Philly site. It's a pretty great website that just shows all the locations of all of these sites, their ownership, their status, their use. These lots play, you know, a large part in, you know, what we call blight. They play a large role in people's lives that live near these lots. They are, according to people that live near them, they attract, you know, trash and illegal dumping. They attract, you know, pests and rodents, and they're a source of stress for the people that live near them. So we do know that, you know, poverty and socioeconomic status has an effect on our health. But we also are, you know, beginning to understand that our environments, that our neighborhoods, and that our immediate surroundings play a role in that effect. And so we want to know that whether, you know, if we change these environments, can we reduce or mitigate that sort of response or that relationship between poverty and our health. So my research asks whether greening or other sort of simple treatments to the built environment can interrupt the cycle. Cities are starting to work on, you know, many different sort of creative solutions that have to do with that address many overlapping priorities and goals, and one being stormwater management, but others having to do with blight reduction or economic development, community development. These are some of the sort of administrative tools and policies developed in Philadelphia. We have a recently created a land bank. But we have things like doors and windows ordinance and $1 side yard or side lot programs, community gardens, many of these programs, ordinance are they're passed or enacted with the idea that that there will be some sort of public health benefit. We might clean the air. We might improve people's lives. We might reduce trips to the emergency room. But many of these hopes, they're really just hopes. They're sort of unproven so far. And so there are many opportunities to sort of use these programs, innovative programs, as sort of natural experiments. And eventually, you know, to work them into sort of experimental designs. And so I have completed evaluations of three different types of programs that I will talk with you mostly about the Green Stormwater Infrastructure Program in Philadelphia. But I also have done an evaluation of a doors and windows ordinance in Philadelphia and a vacant lot greening program in Youngstown, Ohio. I probably won't get to tell you much about the other two, but the research I will tell you about is will be published soon in the American Journal of Public Health, and so stay tuned. First, I would like to tell you about my method. I use a difference in differences approach developed in econometrics, and sociologists use it as well. An experimental research design, in these studies, I'm using observational data. But it measures the difference in the differences between a treatment and a control group, the difference between pre and post, what we call treatment. So, for example, if the blue line represents number of crimes or count of crimes at a control group or in control locations, and the red line represents crimes at the treatment group, we're interested in that difference after the difference between the control and the treatment group after treatment. If for example the lot was greened or the green infrastructure was built in year six. So many cities, Philadelphia is one of almost 800 cities that has a combined sewer system. And that just means that the stormwater flows into the same set of pipes as the wastewater, which is all fine and well until it rains really hard and the system becomes inundated and we have raw sewage flowing into our rivers and our basements and our streets. And this happens up to, I think, 85 times a year, actually, in Philadelphia. So in 2011, the city's plan to address this problem was approved by the EPA. The city devoted $1.2 billion in green and gray infrastructure improvements over 25 years. So green infrastructure is, you know, instead of building another wastewater treatment plant, building a parallel set of pipes underground for wastewater, is to sort of open up the impervious surface and let the rainwater sort of infiltrate naturally into the groundwater, thereby reducing the number of combined sewer overflows. So this means greening. And the idea is, well, it's good not only for stormwater, but it's good for the city, it's good for economic development, it's good for our health. So we've got this sort of gut instinct that adding green features to an impervious and often blighted environment will improve our health. So we set off to test that. At the time of the study, the city had built 52 green stormwater infrastructure sites, or GSI. I used these as my treatment group, and I compared both health and safety outcomes at these locations to outcomes at 186 waitlist control sites, or control sites where nothing happened. And I chose these sites. They were sites where green infrastructure was sort of slated to go in or maybe scheduled to go in, but it was in design phase. Nothing had happened there. The health outcomes we were looking at were high stress, incidence of high stress, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. We got this from the Public Health Management Corporation does a survey every 2 years. And so we used existing survey data at the census tract level. And we also looked at crimes, so 14 different classes of crimes. And so I randomly matched each treatment site with between three and six control sites. so where nothing happened. And I compared them, you know, as a whole, you know, what happened at these treatment sites compared to their matched control sites in terms of these health and safety measures. So using regression models between the years 2000 and 2011. I matched the sites within four different sections of the city to sort of control for any sort of geographic factors that might play into what's going on here. I also compared the treatment sites to the control sites in general in terms of sociodemographic characteristics, and I found that that they were statistically similar. They were not different than one another. So we were comparing apples with apples. We also looked at outcomes at multiple different geographic levels. So at the eighth mile from the treatment or control sites, a quarter mile, half mile buffers, as well as at the census block group and the census tract levels. Just because there is not really a strong agreement out there about what is the scale of effect that you might expect at any one site. So results from our regression analyses showed consistent and statistically significant reductions in narcotics possession out of all of the 14 different types or classes of crimes at multiple different geographic levels. So this was really our main finding here, you know, up to 27% fewer than at control site, or, you know, less than at control locations. We also did see some reduction in narcotic manufacture and in burglaries. We didn't see much in terms of, we didn't see any significant effects in health, which is interesting. So I'm pretty much out of time, right? Okay. Well, so you can see here, these are just images yearly. This is my, just so you can visualize my data. These are hot spots of narcotics possession. It represents up to, I think it's 500 crimes per square mile. And the dots, which are very hard to see, the green dots represent the treatment locations, and the gray are the control locations. So we have, you know, just very briefly, I think I'm not going to be able to talk about these, really do them justice. Okay, so I've done, a similar study in Philadelphia. You know, we're looking at other ways, of property, vacant property abatement. This one is the city is requiring owners of these vacant properties to treat them, to put functioning doors and windows in the homes. And the idea is that, we question, will this have an effect on safety in these areas, because these buildings are often sites of illegal activities are part of that whole occurrence. We did find, so I do have this treatment was done to over 200 homes or buildings, I guess, between 2011 and 2014. And so I did a similar evaluation to see if these effects, to test for these effects on safety. So these are a few pictures of what, the type of change that you might expect to see. And, these findings are still under review, but we did find significant reductions in nuisance crimes and total crime as well. At the treated locations after treatment. So I'm going to just move ahead and finish. So regarding, you know, for example, with the green stormwater infrastructure project, you know, would I, if a city was trying to really fight crime, would I say, well, you should build green infrastructure? I mean, this is the solution. I wouldn't do that, but just because green stormwater is extremely costly, you know, and one of these projects is costs on the order of millions of dollars. But we can say that public health, or you know, we can say from this paper that safety or crime reduction can be one expected benefit of sort of sustainability oriented projects and programs out there that are happening. So that it is important to think about leveraging multiple and overlapping objectives out there. As public health professionals, as environmental scientists, and as planners. We need to know more about the mechanisms of this effect, and I think future studies we're trying to get at that. We want to know, too, about whether the crimes are being displaced or people are being displaced, if that's taking place here. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.